Welcome, everybody, to the Sun on the Strip podcast. This is Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, back with another special quarantined episode of the show. And I'm going to cheat a little bit on this one because I did this interview before everything got closed down. On March 4th, I went to Westgate Las Vegas to meet with comedian George Wallace. And it was such a fun interview, really just a casual conversation that wanted to be able to share it with you. So I go to the Westgate and I'm going to meet George in front of the casino by the Elvis statue. And as soon as I see him, who walks by but Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. And we talked about Mark Davis for a second later on in this interview. But the thing I really wanted to talk with George about was all the TV and movie projects that he's working on right now. He was actually trying to decide which TV show to film first. He was working on a Netflix show with Jamie Foxx, and he was also working on another streaming show for the new Peacock Network, a show called Clean Slate with Laverne Cox. And one of the co-producers on that was the legendary Norman Lear. And George actually almost worked with Norman Lear decades ago on a show called 704 Houser Street. It was a spinoff of All in the Family, and George ended up working on a different show, but obviously kept in touch with Norman Lear through the years. And they were talking about basically rebooting Sanford and Son. And from that idea came this very unique TV concept for Clean Slate. So we're going to talk all about that too. We're going to talk about George's best friend, Jerry Seinfeld, a little bit. We're going to talk about George's favorite restaurants. I had a really great time talking to him and wanted to share it with you. So here you go. George Wallace at the Westgate. Have you been in town for a while? Have you been traveling a little bit, or have you been in Vegas for a while?
I'm in town and out of town both. And leaving tomorrow morning, going to Los Angeles to read for a new TV show. Jamie Foxx show. I'm going to be his dad, and so I got to go table read Friday morning, 11 o'clock. I got to be back here at 8 for the show, and it's busy. It's all good. It's all good. So I'm in and out of town all the time. Last Sunday I was in Los Angeles, Chocolate Sunday, and Sunday before that I was in Atlanta at the State Farm Arena. I'm always working somewhere. Mm-hmm. Always, and that's good.
Yeah, it seems like you've always, even when you were here before for a long term, you were moving around as much as you could.
Always, right? Always. 44 years, almost working every night. Isn't that good? Because I don't work, I just lie. I just go on stage and just lie, just make up shit. Isn't that great? Just have a job like that, and that qualifies me as president, does it not?
It does.
Yes, it
You're
does.
You're actually overqualified.
Oh, are you kidding? Way overqualified. I could run, and I talk about it on stage too. And people go, "You should run." Well, yeah, the problem is people would vote for me.
Yeah,
people would vote for me rather than, because I don't know everything, but I know enough. But I do know I can get things done. What I don't know, call somebody that specializes in stuff.
You've been doing a lot of TV stuff that's in development. I wanted to ask you about the Peacock show with Laverne Cox. Is that thing a green light thing, or is that in development, or what's going on with that?
It's a green light thing, but we don't have a start date. We have a problem with it. I'm waiting for my lawyers to call me tomorrow. Laverne is not available until June. However, I just told you about the Jamie Foxx show. Starts on Monday. So we're in legal hassle right now. They got to free me up. They can't stop me from working when they don't have a date posted yet or green lighted for us to start. Mm-hmm. So that's, depriving me from work.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, but they have me down for first refusal, whatever you call that. But they got to clear that up sometime today. The lawyers are working on that today and tomorrow and Friday morning. I expect to be in Los Angeles at the table for reading.
Mm-hmm. Is that
10 episodes.
Is the Jamie Foxx show also like on one of those streaming networks, or is that
Netflix?
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. It's where you want to be, right?
One of the streaming networks. There's more channels now than there are TV shows. It's just everybody, everything. I don't know half of it. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I want to be, let me make it perfectly clear. I'm living my life. I've never wanted to be in a movie star and a television star ever. All I ever wanted to do, my goal was to work Las Vegas. And about 8 years ago, I did the Flamingo headlining, and after 10 years, I just thought, hey, I've lived my goal. I've done it. I made enough money for me and my family, and I can do anything I want to do, and I'm happy. That's most important. A lot of people worried about, a lot of comedians and entertainers worried about getting to the top of the mountain. I don't need to be at the top of the mountain. Not only is it lonely up there, but there's a lot of problems. Everybody we know on the top of the mountain, we have a few problems, a la Bill Cosby, a la the man in jail right now this week, what is his name, Weinstein, all of the Me Too people, the Michael Jackson, you name it, Richard Pryor, I don't care who it is, everybody in Tiger Woods, you can just go, everybody on the top seems to have something, Dr. Martin Luther King, Oprah, she fell down today, God bless her heart. But it's a gospel song, it's not her favorite song, we fall down, we get up, we fall, but so I'm just great, never wanted to do anything but what I do, and that's, as I say every night on stage, all I do is just go out there and lie and have fun. People love to lie. You can't live without lying. Did you know that?
I can't.
You lie. How many times do you lie today telling somebody,
oh,
I got another call coming through? Time to come. I'm so bad at that.
Probably most of the things I say are a lie now that you said
it. I'm so bad at that. My daughter calls me sometime. I use my landline to call me on the phone. I got another call.
It works, though.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I just love what I do. I got the greatest job in the world to be here in Las Vegas. And going on, I use it as a workshop. It's also my sex and it's my drugs when I go on that stage. Nothing is better. That's what we were talking about last night. We had a guest, Chris Tucker. He's out of Atlanta. He's like my little brother, and we hang together. Well, a lot of comedians do, but we're just talking about how good it is to go on stage here at the Westgate every night and just do your jokes. We have new jokes every day. I'm blessed to be able to do new jokes. That's what I like to do. And if the joke doesn't work, I'm kind of freaky. I kind of like it. If it doesn't work, I'll just say that's a funny joke. Audience sucks. And if I'm doing it on the pad, they love it. They say, do some new jokes, you know. And I just love what I do. I wish everybody had a, I don't know what you're doing right now. Right now, you ain't doing nothing. You're just like me. You ain't doing shit. You sitting right here just listening to me. You doing nothing. So I hope you enjoy it because you get a paycheck at the end of the week.
It's pretty amazing that this counts as work for me, right?
See, I hope you're enjoying it because that's what I teach all of the young kids now.
I am. I do. I say I got the best job in Vegas. I get to talk to you, all these other entertainers, stuff like that.
But I'm the best entertainer you've ever talked to. You've never met anybody like me.
That's true.
I'm different. You've heard about me. I don't play by the rules.
That's true. That's what they say.
You heard about me. And you know I eat pancakes out of cup and cupcakes out of pan. You know that. You know about me. You know I drink a half a glass of whole milk and a whole glass of half a milk. I don't give a shit. A lady told me the other night, I said, Mr. Wallace, if you drink a half a glass of whole milk and a whole glass of half and half, you may not give a shit, but you're going to take one. People talk back to me in the audience. It's a lot of fun, man. Mm-hmm.
I like what you do on Twitter, too.
I just did some Twitter stuff.
What's the process of Twitter? Are you just, you think of something and you do it?
I don't know how to do it, really. I don't know what I'm doing. You know what? I'm trying to get into Instagram. I don't know how to do that either. I got into Twitter, because it's hard when I first started to get those 40 characters into to try to do a joke. So sometimes I have my assistant, can you help me? Let's cut this down. And we'll do like 4 or 5 in a day, and then we'll put them out during the week or whatever. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun talking crap on Twitter.
And they keep changing stuff, and then there's different amounts on Twitter, and then on Instagram now you're doing videos too, so you have to like teach yourself how to do all this stuff.
Well, let's be honest, I'm a little behind on social media. let's be honest. People say, what do you mean you got almost 1 million? But I don't know what the is it TikTok? I don't know any of that stuff. That's for young kids.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I'm too old for that.
So we're too old for that. So
definitely.
And it's easier. I think Instagram is easier than tweeting. Because all I got to do is turn the phone on and just say, hey, I'm sitting here right now having an interview with Brock. And what do you work? Which one?
Sun.
The Sun. That's the more liberal newspaper?
It is.
That's why you're talking to me.
Yeah.
Because you know I'm crazy.
Twitter and other social media also, there's such a thing as like a Twitter comedian. Because you can be a great comedy writer and you can go on Twitter and do your thing there and not be a performer. That's kind of spawned a different generation of comedians, I think. People who are, like, famous for just typing funny stuff on Twitter.
This is true. And I don't get a chance to read that stuff. And there's a lot of funny guys. Patton Oswalt is my favorite. I don't know a lot of people. You know, I just hit it and quit it because I'm more concerned about tonight's show. Mm-hmm. That's where I get into my writing. But I can get that and let it go. And, you know, shout out to the top five pans or the top five chairs and shit like that. I look around and go like, oh, yeah, I'm shout out to the top five flowers. I'm shout out, you know. My answers are, I've gotten to the point where I know what I'm doing. My answers are good, and I'll leave out a lot of good replies, like the top five pans. I had flex in the flex out of the pan. No. What's that out of the pan? You had Pan American.
Flash in the pan.
Flash in the pan. Peter Pan, all of those. And then you leave out some, then they'll suck your ass, man. And somebody hit me with, how about Mugu Guy? Oh, my God.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is that fantastic or what? Yeah. You don't know where they're coming from, man. So I love doing that. I'm sure. I guess, yeah, someone pan another pan. They'll come back and say, I guess he gets no love, or this pan gets no love, or Brian gets no love, huh? But it's just great tweeting little things like that.
Twitter will give you more than you want.
I think so. I'm writing a book right now, in the process of writing a book called Bull Twit. Mm-hmm. Bull Twit. And it was just going to do like 140 pages right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have some replies made, funny replies. I'm going to leave a line for you also to write in your reply. It's just a little fun book.
Yeah. When you do you actually write? Do you actually sit down and write out material and ideas and stuff, or do you type it in your phone, or do you just remember things? Or?
All of them, everything. Here's the phone right now. It's just loaded with. Let's see. We're talking about everything is alive. That's my big thing right now. All right, and now I'm getting into crackers. If you see crackers on sale, have you ever bought crackers on sale?
Crackers on sale? Yeah, I'm sure I have.
You ever notice the crackers on sale are always broken or crooked or something like that? That's, I have to look at shit like that. I have to look at little things like that. I'm just thinking, every time crackers on sale, you open up the pack, they're broken. I guess that's why they're on sale. It's crazy.
Taco shells.
Anything on sale.
There's always some broken. Anything. Even the ones that are not on sale.
Exactly.
And the fundamental purpose of a taco shell is to not be broken. You'd think they would come up with a better way to package those things.
They can't because it's crispy. That's got to break. It's almost like, that's what cornflakes are, broken tacos. That's what, in crackers? Let's get into crackers. See, now, there you go. You got me going. You got me thinking. How about the fortune cookies? You know, I'm trying to write a bit on that fortune cookie. They started a long time ago in Japan. I think that's where they started in Japan. I say a long time ago, like 1986. You got some guy working in a sweatshop, working his ass off, 16 hours a day, making fortune cookies. And he knows what the lucky numbers are. That's my joke right there. And he knows what the lucky numbers are. Yeah. Sometimes it may not be funny, but I just like that he knows. But share the lucky numbers, you know? I guess 19 cents an hour, a raise would be a fortune for him since we started talking about cookies.
Now, I think the last time that I talked to you for one of these kind of stories was right when you started up at Westgate a couple years ago now, right?
Really? Yeah. It's been a couple years ago in June.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Can you believe that up here? Can we have 30 days again?
No, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. And they're bringing in a lot of different entertainment then.
Yeah.
And they're still bringing in new stuff now. The Motown show's in the same room as you now.
Yeah.
They're always making changes with the shows here.
Yeah. And they do a good job of that. I don't know how they do it. I'm surprised I'm here that long. But the people are great here at the hotel. And when I was at the Flamingo, being on the strip, we lose 100 or 200 customers a day just by being over here. Mm-hmm. Off the strip.
Yeah.
So I have to work twice as hard to get people to come over here, you know. Yeah. But we're having fun. And I love it. Like I say, I get to do it every night. I made all my money, did everything at the Flamingo 10 years ago, whatever. But it's wonderful.
Well, you really become like one of the main faces of this property as it has gained a foothold. Being Westgate, obviously it's been different things through the years. But since it's been the Westgate, you've really emerged as, you know, one of the prominent personalities that people identify with this property. It's like you and Barry.
Well, what happens is I also don't mind doing what I'm doing right now, is talking to the press and going to the local TV and the local radio, and also doing the live television everywhere, and The View and The Talk and everything, and Tom Joyner Morning Show and Steve Harvey Morning Show, so all over America. So that's why I'm able to do that. Some people can't do it. To be here, sustain, just to be here that long, because you're promoting yourself at all times. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing the movies, I'm doing the television, I'm doing everything. Like, what do we got? We got the Hubie Halloween coming out pretty soon with Adam Sandler. We got, there's so much shit coming down. I can't even remember it now.
You're doing so much stuff.
Yeah. Like I said, we got Clean Slate with Norman Lear. Out of all people, that's a blessing right there.
Have you worked with him before?
I worked with him 30 years ago. It's called 804 Houser Street. And that was next door to All in the Family. John Amos was the lead character, and I was his neighbor, but I got another show at the same time, just like now. And my show was called Tall Hopes with CBS. We did 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. And my son, Tall Hopes, about a black basketball player. And my son was Terrence Howard, who's now Empire.
Oh, wow.
So I chose to go with that show instead of working with Norman Lear. But he always remembered me. So it's been 35, 40 years now. I just went back to him and I said, I want to do Sanford and Son again. He said, no, the hell with Sanford and Son. You just do you. And we came up with the idea. A friend of mine, he has 2 kids, and one is transgender. And so we're just talking. I said, wouldn't that be funny? Just talking shit. Wouldn't that be funny if I had a Sanford and Son and come back and the kid and then we thought, are you shitting me? And that's when the idea hit us.
So you guys really came up, you guys really conceptualized that.
Yeah. My friend Dan Ewan, who helped me write the book, we're just having coffee, and because he loves to talk about his kids. And so, but I just thought, oh, what a wonderful twist. Sanford and Son. So you know the story. He leaves as a young man. He was Mobile, Alabama, goes to New York City to do his thing, like most kids do. They leave home, go be who they have to be. We all do that. And but he comes back 30 years later, knocks on the door. He says, Dad, it's me. But he's a lady. I go, who? He what? The fuck? Who? And I'm an old black man from Mobile, Alabama, in the story, so I don't know anything. I haven't, you know, I got to be educated about the whole process. Mm-hmm. Because when I was a father, my job was like to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. And take the boy to the maybe baseball game, softball. Never knew about any other lifestyles.
Right.
But it's good now that he comes back. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I got to be educated and learn that that's still my kid. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to take it to the black church, because the black church is the hardest on the transgender. We're going to take it. I want her to be even run for mayor. She doesn't have to win, but it creates awareness.
Yeah.
Everybody has to learn how to just live with people, let people be who they want to be.
Yeah.
And that's what you call live and let live, or live, lie, laugh, love the Lord, whatever. And that's what this story's about. I think a lot of people can learn and be educated. Mm. Because the more you're aware of things, you're exposed to things, maybe you can, the more you can accept things. Who'd have thought we'd ever have a black president? Who'd have thought that Buttigieg would be running? Mm-hmm. All kinds of crazy things. Not crazy things, great things, actually. People live and love their lives. So that's what we're going to do with that show.
It's an interesting, it seems like an interesting thing for you to be a part of, because of your career and your success, you have traveled all over the place. You have experienced all these other things.
You're right.
Not everyone's been able to do that. So
you're so right. I'm the most blessed person you've ever met. Now, did you ever forget that? Most successful person you've ever met. It's not how much money you make. It's how you enjoy your life while you're living. Mm-hmm. Don't ever forget that. You know, it's if you love what you do, you know, some of my big friends, or some of y'all might know who my best friend is, and he and Anderson Cooper were talking one day about, is it better to be famous or rich? And I was just thinking, you know what? I think I got it better than both of you guys. I can do anything you guys want to do. I got money. I can retire. I can go anywhere. Enough people see me on the street to satisfy my little ego. Hey, Mr. Wallace. But neither of you guys can go pee. The cameras are on them, even when they don't know the cameras on them. And you become so... And I love my life. So You gotta travel all over the world.
There's got to be also, there's like a level of fame where you get the haters too. And maybe that's not, maybe that doesn't happen for you very
not
much.
Not yet. But I know my job is that we don't know the formula for success, but we do know the formula for failure. And that's trying to please everybody. Everybody's not going to like you. If you're really doing what you want to do, everybody's not going to like you. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. And I can deal with that. Enough people know me that they bought my houses. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm concerned with. You know? They bought my life. You can't please everybody. Everybody don't like Jesus.
Yeah, I love comedians and cars getting coffee. I was never a Seinfeld fan of the TV show.
Right.
I didn't watch that, even though that's my totally my era. I haven't watched it very much.
But neither did I.
I love the... you didn't watch it?
I was working. Listen to me. Listen.
Weren't you on it a few times?
I was on it just one time. We kept business and friendship separate, always. Because our great friend, Gary Shandling, had a best friend just like the two of us. You see the two of them, you saw the two of us. His name was Lewis Smith. And something happened on the show. Lewis got fired. And Lewis said, well, Gary, what the fuck can you tell me? You know, he's supposed to be my best friend. And they never were friends again. So we can't have that. So, and plus... he's such a great friend. All his money is my money also. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
That's good. So we've been best friends for 44 years.
Yeah.
So, but I never got a chance to watch the series. I see it more now than I did then. Because 8 o'clock, I was always doing what I wanted to do every night. See, my first 25 years, I was opening for Tom Jones and Diana Ross. And right here in Las Vegas, 1979, I started here. Mm-hmm. I stayed here. I was there until 1985, just opening for people. Just you name it, Donna Summer, Helen Reddy, Paul Anka, all over the world. And I was with Tom Jones for 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. And learning how to, all I ever wanted to do was learn how to be a comedian. In the round, all different kinds of audience, theater, style, whatever. That's all I ever wanted. So I never got a chance to watch television. I don't watch television a lot now because I'm on stage every night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. I saw you last year when you opened for Celine's last show.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was last year?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, last summer.
When they have an emergency, they always call me to come over. And I said, yeah, the first time it was really cool. We did it several times. Mm-hmm. And she was going to be late. And I was like, George, can you come on? Yeah. So when she was ready, I was sitting in the audience in a chair. And they said, ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start. No recording, no telephones. Thank you so much. And then they announce it once again. Ladies and gentlemen, the show's about to start. Please, no telephones, no recordings, blah, 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 blah. That includes you, Mr. Wallace, and the camera was on me. And went, put your phone down, Mr. Wallace, and I'm still on the camera. And just 1 minute, and then I stood up and walked to the stage and delivered my 20 minutes, and it just... fantastic, fantastic. So it was wonderful to work with her on her last night. That was good, too.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Mark Davis that we just saw was sitting right next to me and my wife at that show.
Oh, really?
Which was, you know, it was surreal just to be at Celine's last show, but then he comes in and sits down next to you, and it's like, what is going on
right now? That, huh? She's so nice. We took pictures backstage and everything. Amazing. Amazing.
Do you have Vegas restaurants that you... I used to write about food before entertainment, mm-hmm. so I always wonder where people like to go eat.
I used to write about food, too, when I was at Flamingo for one of the magazines. And I would go and just...
You used to write about food?
Yeah, the restaurants I would go to and just give a little review on them, from Il Molino's to El Pollo Loco.
That's a good idea, too.
Yeah.
You should pick that back up again. Got you doing the weather, got you doing restaurant reviews. What don't you do?
I did that for a year, man.
That's a good job.
Yeah,
it's a real fun job.
Yeah. I went to all of the restaurants on the strip. And I go to restaurants here. Yeah, that's some good. Have you ever been to Maryland's? That's in the Tuscany Hotel?
Yeah.
It's a little breakfast place. They say it's good all day. Only go for breakfast. It is so good, so much food. They got grits. Mm-hmm. I'm a country boy from Georgia, right? They got grits and they got real bacon and it's really nice there. And people are saying to me that, oh, the dinner is just as good as the breakfast, kind of like Cracker Barrel.
I've only been there for breakfast, yeah. And sounds good.
But,
is it hard to find, like, good southern food? I think that's the thing that happens. People come to Vegas from different places, and they try to find, like, the best Chicago pizza or the best whatever from wherever.
Have you ever gone to a more Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. They got a new one opening up in Henderson pretty soon.
Oh, yeah?
On Sunset.
That's good.
I like that because I like Portillo's from Chicago. You know what Portillo's is? Mm-hmm. It's okay, yeah, fantastic sausage and sandwich house.
Yeah.
Last time I ate at the Edge Steakhouse here, Chris Tucker, and took him in there, and we ate that. And that's real good. And the Italian place, Frescos, all those places, steakhouses, Wynn Hotel's good. Every hotel, every steakhouse is number one. So my friend Chris Tucker said, is this village number one? I said, yeah, every steakhouse is number one.
Right.
So people don't know. People pay for that advertisement, you know?
There's that many websites out there that exactly. We can all name a different Vegas steakhouse.
You get on the airplane, you see all these number one steakhouses. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there's so many great restaurants in Las Vegas. So the number one restaurant in Las Vegas, you can go ahead and ask me, George, what is the number one?
That's a tough thing to choose, but.
No, it's not. It's very simple.
All right, what is it?
Mon ami Gabi.
For
the money, for the price, for the ambience, you can't beat it. Right there on the strip, open air or inside, the food is good. You've never had a bad meal at Mon ami Gabi. From breakfast to steak, you name it. Yeah. Just wonderful, seasoned right. Yeah, you can eat, you can go to a very expensive restaurant, but for the money, that's one where the big business deals go down. Mm-hmm. And I like their food better than I do the food upstairs in the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's more, not so formal.
Just better, no, you know, they got a lot of butter up there in that French restaurant. And maybe sometimes, I don't know what it is. I love them.
They got all the butter up there.
They got all the butter up there. They got butter. Yeah, so.
That was one of the, there's so many restaurants now where you can sit on a patio on the strip and watch the people go by or watch the fountains or whatever. But, like, that was the first one, really.
The one that was really, you can see the dancing waters over at the Bellagio. What a great location. They used to be number one in Las Vegas. I don't know if they still are. So many, once again, everybody else is number
one. Stole it.
Well, you know, a lot of people, that Eataly is doing pretty good up here.
It's pretty fun. A lot of different stuff going on there, though. It's kind of hard to choose what you want to do.
Well, I'm going there. Can you eat in there, actually? Because I went in there and bought food to take home.
Yeah, me too.
Because I bought the prosciutto. Because I hang out in Europe a lot, and I love that little thin, it's like yam and the ham. I love that. And for some reason, I think you can only get it in Europe, and they sell this shit here, but it doesn't taste the same, does it?
Not, well, yeah. It's always different when you're somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
There's something about being somewhere else that makes
Are you a travel, sir?
Yeah, I try to. I haven't done much, but my wife is a big traveler, so she's been getting me out there a little bit
more. Sure you do travel. You got
to
travel.
I'd like to, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to do more. Got to work a little bit less. Make that happen.
Yeah.
Which one of those TV shows is going to be the one? Are you going to not do the Norman Lear one?
No, or I won't just do maybe later? Lear, but just later.
Okay.
Because Laverne is not available until June. So why not do this now?
I mean, you make it sound like that's a long time from now, but June is only a few months away. You're going to shoot a whole TV show in a few months?
10 episodes, yeah. You know how they do it now, 10 weeks back to back.
I don't know. I've never done TV shows.
Well, yeah, so we can do that and get that out of the way. And then we can flip some spots and do, you know, I got another movie also called Vacation Friends with John Cena and Lil Rel that starts in mid-March. So I got to flip-flop on these shows either way, fly back and forth to Atlanta and then here. So I got three shows actually going at the same time. Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
But it's all good. I'm going to get to work here every night here in the Westgate and have fun and go out and do new jokes. And that's great. So it's always good to hit that stage and entertain the people. And then come back every night and see pretty much a different show.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much a different show. What you been doing it for? I've been doing it so long, people accuse me of stealing my own shit. How about that?
You ever got heckled by somebody who tell you that you're telling your own jokes?
But sometimes they'll tell you, tell them a joke about such and such. You go, oh, shit, I forgot that. You don't even know the joke anymore, you know? And sometimes it's a great joke. Somebody reminded me about the joke about, I wrote this at the Comedy Store, so that must have been the early 80s. about the license plate, C-U-T-I-P-I, when the personalized license vanity plates first came out, C-U-T-I-P-I. And the lady and I drove up next to her because I said, cutie pie, let me drop up next to her and check it out. And I got up next to her and said, damn, she must have stole this car, you know. And so somebody reminded me, and guess what I did? I put it, that's new again.
Still good, though.
So I'm trying to write evergreen material. So well, it's funny then, it should be funny now.
Thanks again for listening to the Sun on the Strip podcast. You can find all episodes of this show at lasvegassun.com/podcasts or on Apple Podcasts. Stay up to date with everything that's happening in Vegas these days at lasvegassun.com. Go to lasvegasweekly.com to subscribe to that magazine and get it mailed to your house every week. Yeah, thanks. See you next week.